John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall he believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Our meeting tonight really continues from the meeting we had last week. And if you were here last week, you'll remember how that we read from Isaiah chapter 53, and we recalled these verses, But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we remembered last week how that we recall the passage of the scripture where our Lord Jesus Christ was led to the cross of Calvary, and even in his going to Calvary, how he suffered at the hands of men. And then when he came to the cross, and when he was put on that cross, how they pierced his side. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he cried those words, It is finished. And there on the cross, that work of salvation for you and I, that work that was what was required of God to pay for the penalty of your sin and mine. Well, on the cross that day, the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sin and mine. And then 3 days later, we find after he was buried, he rose again, triumphantly. And dear friends, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ that we present to you tonight is a living Savior. And as our brother Victor has mentioned even in the song service that tonight, if you do not have, if you have not trusted him as your own and personal savior, well, what you've got to do tonight is exercise faith and trust from the work that he's accomplished in our behalf. We recall how that Paul, he was one, he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what Paul was doing, he was persecuting the Christians. He thought that was the right thing to do, of course. And he was going about until God spoke to him with this great light and struck Paul down. And Paul's words were, "What wilt thou have this to do?" And we know how that Paul was wonderfully saved and how he was told that he had a work to do for God in the preaching of the gospel. And as Paul moved around all these different cities, we found that at that particular time he came to the city of Athens, and Paul was very stirred up within himself because he found that city to be very, very idolatrous. And they were serving idols, and this really, really stirred him up. And he preached unto them, as we read in Acts chapter 17, he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And you know, dear friends, that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is good news about how the Lord Jesus Christ has been living for him, died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And Paul, that day, he preached Jesus and the resurrection. And as we go through the passage, we find how that some did not believe, but there were those who believed. And you know, dear friends, we also looked at the situation as regards to what is it really that is keeping one from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. Those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ at various times, different stages in our lives, as we look back, and we see what was it that really kept me from trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we also talk about the fact that these people, they serve idols, and how that we went to these cities, and we went to the city of Florence and the city of Athens, and all these big sculptures that people had hewn out, which they were serving idols. We talked about the temples just down the road in King George's Road, where there's a temple being built with all these funny faces and things like that, idols that people are worshipping. But we sort of looked at the question also, well, there are other kinds of idols. You know, anything that separates us from the love of God. Anything that comes between us and God is an idol. Whether it be our jobs, and we say, well, we're far too busy. Far too busy to have time for God, or to read the scriptures, or to learn more and know more about God. You know, my job is, that's what I'm here for, and I'm planning to make good of it. That becomes an idol. Whether it's success in life, in things that we do, whether it's in sport, or whether it's whatever it might be. We looked at the 10 lepers. Now that when the Lord Jesus Christ healed him, only one came back. The other said, oh well, we're pretty well now, our bodies are good again, let's go and have some more sport and things like that. And so there's many things other than sculptures and architecture and those sorts of things that are idols. There are things in our lives that keep us from thinking about God, keep us from reading his word, keeping us from, as we listen to his word, of making it sink in, keeping us from maybe making that decision of saying, that's it, as from today, I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to let him. And so there are these things. If there's anybody tonight, it may only be something small, something insignificant. But you know, if you're thinking about God, you're thinking about your salvation, and then you think about something, that's keeping you from God. Tonight, I'm going to just look at three people. One we've already looked at, and their approach to the will of God. And the first person that we looked at tonight was Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, all three of these people, they come from different walks of life. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Pharisees. He was a teacher. He was a learned man. And the people with whom he gathered around him and that he mixed with respected him. And I suppose in many ways they felt that if there was anything they needed to know, Nicodemus was the man to tell them. But you know, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got on this earth and on this thing. And he did many, many wonderful things. And you know, sometimes, of course, we also tend to think that some people know everything. But you know, sometimes when you speak to them, you do sometimes find that maybe they want to know a little bit more. And this was the case with Nicodemus, you see. Nicodemus, he heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to himself, I must meet this person. And you know something, I suppose being respected by the people and as knowing a lot and knowing all things maybe, as far as they were concerned and answering their questions, Nicodemus didn't really want people to see him. And so it tells us that he went to see the Lord Jesus Christ by now. But you know, here again, dear friends, let me tell you something, that Nicodemus, he made up his mind, learned though he was, he made up his mind, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that verse that we sang last week in Nicodemus says, come away to Jesus, let your earthly idols pass. And I feel that here, Nicodemus was making a way open. Because he said, oh, you went by night, yeah, okay, that's all right, but he said, I'm going to talk to the Lord Jesus. And to find out from him just what it is that he feels it. And so Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by night and he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And so we find that Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with a whole lot of questions. And as they sat there talking, there must have been numerous other questions. That's not recorded here. That Nicodemus wanted to find out about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, what we find is that Nicodemus, he came for knowledge, more knowledge. He knew so much, but he didn't know enough. And he felt he had to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to gain some more knowledge as to how he was here. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him about things spiritually and about things that pertain to this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Dear friends, tonight, that's one of the great musts of Scripture. You must be born again. And Nicodemus, as learned though he was, he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, but how can these things be? Jesus answered unto him, art thou a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? And the Lord Jesus Christ went on to explain to Nicodemus the situation of being born again. being born again into God's family. It was sin from Adam's day that separated you and I from God. And therefore, we have to be born again into God's family. And the only way that we could be born into God's family was to put our faith in God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, accept Him whom God has done. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus, and we find that further down in verse 16 to verse 18, we'll say verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he doth not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there we find Nicodemus. He came with some questions, and he got some wonderful answers. And the Lord Jesus Christ left us with him. Now, we don't read anything further about Nicodemus here, but we'll leave him for a moment. Nicodemus, a teacher, a ruler, one whom the people respected, one who knew lots of things. There was this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to move over to another man now. And this man is a very well-known man in the Old Testament. His name is Naaman. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man. With his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he also was a mighty man in valor. Here was Naaman, who came from a different walk of life. He was in the military. He was in the army. He was a great man. He was a strong man. Also, some kind of a leader, but of a different kind. And with his dealings with men going into battle, I suppose at times he was a very, very fearsome man. But the Bible tells us that Naaman was a leper. And of course, this news, as far as Naaman's health was concerned, was of great concern to him and to all those around about him. Dear friends, tonight, I want to say to you that your position tonight should be a part of God. If your name is not recorded in the list of the Lord. Tonight, if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that should be priority number one tonight. Naaman, at this particular time, well, he was looking for answers. He wanted to find a way whereby he could be cured. And we know how that Naaman, from one of his battles, brought back this little girl from Syria. And she knew God. She believed in God. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here was a messenger, specially sent for Naaman, a young girl that was captured in one of the battles. But you know, God works in wondrous ways, doesn't he? He works in mysterious ways, in wonders supernatural. And here was this little girl. You know, sometimes people, you know, they don't always like being told by someone younger. I can remember when I went around giving out tracts and things like that, but possibly I must have been at the age of about 16 or so. That man, probably about 18 years old, standing at the gate, and I gave him a track, and he sort of opened the gate to says he'd understood. Just to say, you know, as a young little fellow, I'd use something to give me a check, tell me what to do. But God works in these ways. The Bible says, but reminded ourselves that it's a little child and a little girl. So let's not, if a little child speaks to us concerning God and his salvation, we should take note. Well, Naaman, he took note of this little girl. He took note of the message. Because what happened, we find that Naaman got a letter and he made his way to the prophet. Of course, he first went to a king who gave him the letter, king of Israel. But we also find that Naaman, he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. This morning we heard in a prayer that we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here was Naaman, and you know, he didn't close his eyes or his ears to what he heard or the advice that was given to him, but he was going to go. And dear friend, what I'm trying to get at tonight is that, you know, if you are here in this meeting tonight and you have just come here to spend the time, or say sit here for a half an hour or 3/4 an hour or whatever, just sit here and then leave again, well, I don't think you'll find a real blessing in that. But if you've come here, like Naaman, to find out just how you can make your peace with God, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then tonight, dear friend, God wants to meet you and God wants to save you. Naaman, he didn't say, oh well, this little girl probably doesn't know what she's talking about, but he took his heart. But of course, one mistake was that he's taken his gold, he's taken his silver, and he's taken all the changes of raiment. And when Naaman came with a letter to the prophet Elisha, he expected great things. He expected the prophet to come out. Maybe he, even at that stage, wanted to say to him, well, look, I'm going to pay you so much. I'm going to do this for you. I'll do that for you. I've got all the changes of raiment. I've got gold. I've got everything. Dear friend, tonight, God doesn't want us to work. He doesn't want us to go. He doesn't want our good work. He wants your heart. Son, daughter, give me thy heart. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? He died on Calvary's cross. He said. And so Naaman, when Elisha came out and sent a message to him, go and wash in the river Jordan, Naaman was quite upset. And he said, behold, I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call upon the name of his Lord and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. He was expecting a great thing. And of course, Naaman being a great man in battle, I suppose he did things a certain way. But you know, God spoke to Naaman in a simple way. And he got upset and he said, oh, the river Jordan, are not the rivers, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not go and wash in them and be clean? Well, I'm sure that if Elijah told him, he would be. But Elijah said, go to the river Jordan. You must go there. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Naaman, you must go to the river Jordan
and get yourself 7 times. And we find that Naaman, he turned around and went away in a rage. Now you know, sometimes people talk to us about our salvation. And sometimes they talk to us just about that little thing. Unbeknowingly, God works in his secret ways. Unbeknowingly, they talk to us about the thing perhaps that may be keeping you and I from trusting him. And I'm going back as far as my salvation is concerned. I'm going back a long way. And the times when I was spoken to about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and something came in between, and I thought, oh, no, not today. And you know something? What happens at times like that? At times, I'm sure, we went away in a rage, like many. Save me from earthly. And sometimes we go away in a rage. But you know something, dear friend? God is a willing to that condition. And if you've ever had a reaction like that, I'm telling you tonight, if you've ever had a reaction like that where you've got upset, you know something? God's speaking to you. If that person said something like that, and well, you just went off them, didn't think about it again, and, you know, it didn't worry you, didn't bother you, but you had some sort of reaction, even if it was bad, even, it's because God is speaking to your heart. And if that's still happening, God's still speaking to your heart. And be glad about that, because God says in his word, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you have those feelings within your heart tonight, dear friends, be glad, because the Lord wants you to put your faith and trust in him. And I trust that he will do that for you. So Naaman went off in a rage. But he had some wise servants with him. And they came to him and, you know, said to him, if the prophet came and told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And Naaman, to his credit, he thought about it. Just as I hope that you'll be thinking about your salvation tonight. He thought about it. And he decided he'll go. And so Naaman went down to the river Jordan, and he dipped himself 7 times. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the river Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. Now listen to this. Naaman, he was speaking a spirit for his leprosy, but he got a little bit more than that. He was seeking for a cure for his leprosy, but we find here that Naaman says, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in his God. And therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of God. There we find Naaman came for the cure, but he also came to a realization that there is a God in heaven. And that is the God that Elisha represented. And Naaman went away a very happy man. Just quickly, we will turn over again. We haven't got too much time. To Acts chapter 16. Here we find another man. He's not a teacher. He's not a man, a great man in the army. But this man here is just a, well, how could we put it? He's a man trying to earn a living, a Philippian jailer. He didn't have a great reputation, I suppose. All his job was to make sure that the prisoners that were put in his care were to be kept under lock and key. And so grave was that command that if any of these prisoners escaped, your life depends upon it. That was the job this man had. To find how the Corps and Private, and you know the story very well, I'm sure most of you know the story, how they sang in prison. How God allowed that earthquake to happen. And Paul and Silas, their stocks were broken, and they were in a position where they could walk out of the prison and just go their way. This Philippian jailer, when he realized what had happened, immediately he was so afraid. He was nobody in authority, and if he didn't do his job properly, he would take it away. And here was this man, and he said, oh, the people have never seen. And he was just about to take his life. And Paul cried out, do thyself no harm, for we are all dead. Isn't it wonderful how that this man is feeling for his life? His job that he had depended on keeping those prisoners safe, or his life would be taken from him. But you know, dear friends, that man, where at one moment he thought, well, he was going to win his life, all is lost, all is gone. The next minute he finds that he has eternal life. What a change. Paul and Silas called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling. And Paul and Silas said, we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, friends, what must I do to be saved? What did the Lord Jesus Christ say? We must be born. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And we read that they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his house. Here was a man, well, no real family in life. He was going to take his life. But he found true life, eternal life, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends and I, what passes in the truth about the spirituality? And if you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened to Nicodemus, Father? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. He told him that he had to be born again. We heard nothing further then, but you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary. And this is where I find, where I believe, that Nicodemus gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 19, and verse 35, 39. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And then verse 39 says, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. So there we find Nicodemus, the ruler, the teacher. He made up his mind. He made up his mind, and he was saying, there was Naaman. He got healed, he got cured of his leprosy, and he found the true God. the Philippian jailer? All is lost. Did you think tonight that all is lost for him? There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I trust him out of the living. And if you will put your faith and trust in him, he must be born. And you know, the warning comes again. Behold, now he says that the Father. Behold, now he says that the Father.